May 19th, City Housing Authority meeting, and we have a roll call.
Chairman Segura. Vice Chairman Simpkins.
Present.
Commissioner Douglas.
Present.
Commissioner DeFreitas.
Present.
Commissioner Houston.
Present.
Commissioner Martinez. Attorney Kremenski.
Here.
Executive Director Acosta.
Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from April?
Also move.
Second.
And the motion is properly moved to second. Any correspondence? None? Oh. All in favor?
Aye.
Correspondence? No correspondence. Now we'll have the Executive Director's report.
We'll start with revenue as usual, and we received about the very same amounts for April and May from HUD subsidy, $63,163 for Bowman and $47,113 for Dunbar Heights, so no change there. We also took in funds for $32,449. That's money that came from capital funds to pay the architect for the work he's been doing on Dunbar Heights. And we had applied for a grant and received it, and it's called shortfall funds, and we used that to turn over vacant units, so we drew down $10,300 for April. So the difference in the March and April, $119,576 to $153,025, are those funds that we drew down from HUD. For other revenue, it was very much the same, $3,700 in March and $4,000 in April, and that little increase was due to an increase in laundry revenue. Tenant charges for rent, we charged about $10,000 more in April than March, and that has to do with the outstanding recertifications are being continuously done, so people's rents are increasing as those recerts are finished. The total balance for all charges was $136,929 for March and $144,000 for April, and that difference has to do with the more charge to the tenants because of more rent being due because of outstanding recertifications being completed. So collected from the 5th, by the 5th of the month in March, we collected $32,000. In April, we had collected $50,000. The total collected by the end of the month was $114,000 for March and $107,000 for April. So we collected less in April than we did in March. Prepaid rents always fluctuate, so that went down a little bit, $13,000 in March, $10,000 in April. And the unpaid tenant balance, which was $22,000 for March, was $37,000 for April, which means that we had last month, all outstanding tenant charges was $505,000. This month, $542,000, all outstanding charges for tenants. For bills paid, there was very similar in March and April. We did have a three-pay rule period in March, which made that higher. Everything else seemed to balance itself out so that we came out with $315,000 that we paid out in March and $312,000 that we paid out in that is really flying off the shelf is utility costs. Those are just skyrocketing. So we're hoping that as the weather gets better, some of those costs will come down and help to even it out before the end of the fiscal year. I don't think there's anything otherwise extraordinary in the bills that were paid. The variances are some are paid quarterly, some are paid monthly, and that's what usually it creates a difference. Also, and as we said, we drew down funds from HUD to pay the architect, and then we paid the architect, so that difference is there. For proceedings, we haven't started with any evictions yet, so that has not changed for now. Excuse me. superintendents, of course, can continue to pay repayment agreements as they see fit or as they want to. We always offer it to them, and a few take the opportunity, but not so many. Work orders for the month, we received 104 work orders, and 100 were complete by the end of the month, leaving 4 outstanding, which are probably already completed by this time. Usually when we have them carried over to the next month, it's because they come in very close to the end of the month and maintenance hasn't had a chance to get to them, or something that has to be ordered that we have not received. Excuse me. Unit turnover, at the end of the month, we had 4 vacant units. One of those units was leased up, will be leased up the 1st of June. This is June. And one will be leased, one was leased May 4th. But as of the end of the month, which is what this report reflects, we had 4 vacancies, which is still a very good number. Extermination, we didn't have any extraordinary exterminating charges for the previous couple of months. So we're just paying our basic amounts of what we had, specials that tenants had requested. For tenant accounts receivable, the summary is, for March, we had 233 people of the 273, that's 85% of the tenants owed a balance of $505,000 in March. And in April, 242, number went up, 87% of the 273 units, tenants had a balance, and that balance went up to $542,855. So it continues to go up. For the police department, of course, I choose 2 random weeks to report on police department, and for the week of April 5th through 11th, there were 36 visits to Bowen Towers. 20 were routine, and then there were 6, and those 6 were a suspicious activity, noise, a person reportedly to have a gun, but he didn't, a domestic disturbance, a disorderly group, and a medical assist. At Dunbar Heights, there were 23 visits, and all 23 of those visits were routine. And for the week of April 9th through the 25th, Bowman Towers had 30 visits from the police, 27 were routine, and the 3 others were a medical assist, a fire alarm, and a traffic stop. Bowman Towers for the same period had, Dunbar Heights for the same period had 30, and 26 of those were routine. The other 4 were 1 medical assist, 2 EDPs, that's an emotional disturbed person, and 1 was a domestic.
That's a Ricola sound here. Do you need a Ricola?
I'm sorry?
A Ricola?
Oh, no, I think it's just a tipple. I don't know if I need it, but thank you very much.
Let's see how it goes.
Maybe a sip of water. How about that? I got that little thing down here sometimes. Okay. So we put out the bids for repositioning special counsel. We only received 2. I've given you a summary of the same information that I gave you last month about what we were going to be looking for when we were going to decide on a person to help us with the repositioning as far as the legal is concerned. We advertised in the Journal News, PHA website, PH Public Housing Authority Directors Association, New York State Housing Authority Directors Association, and we reached out to 5 direct attorneys to see if they would respond to our RFQ. From that, we received 2. I went over them both very carefully, and I think I have given good evidence as to why I am recommending that we choose Whiteman. The reasons are because they have more New York State experience. They have more experience in representing New York State housing authorities. Their fee schedule is significantly lower than the other attorney. Their travel expenses would probably be lower since one, they are in Albany and the other is in Pennsylvania. And the Pennsylvania one specifically said they would be charging for airfare and lodging, so we probably won't have much of that from Albany. And also the project manager that they are assigning us from Whiteman is a former commissioner of the New York State Division of Housing and Community Development and Renewal Housing Finance Agency. And this is the agency that we will be going to when we're trying to get funds to do this project. So I think it cannot be overstated that someone that has been in a high position there will be able to get us through the whole network, highway, paperwork, and help us extremely well in our efforts to get these low-income tax credits. They provided responses to the women minority participation. And the other firm, Rothschild, the second, the only other firm that responded to us, they didn't meet the criteria that I've just spoken to you about. In addition to that, the primary contact for the project for us would be, they've said, would be an attorney that is designated for PHA. He has the bar admission in Pennsylvania, in Texas, and in Arizona, but not in New York. So, I mean, I don't know how detrimental that would be, but I just thought they got a big firm. You should probably have somebody that can has that under their belts. So I have here for you how I rationalize the scoring for them. And my recommendation is that PHA accept the special counsel, Whiteman, Osterman, and Hannah, LLP, as our attorney to lead us through repositioning. Capital Fund Project, Dunbar Heights and Turnkeys. We placed the advertisements in the same places, and the architect directly contacted some potential responders. And fortunately, we received 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 respondents. We had a bid opening where several of these respondents were there. Based on the architect's evaluation of what the responses were, we have made the recommendation that we take the firm that was the low bidder, and that is Moy Construction Corporation out of White Plains, because they have bid $1,190,000 to do the steel porches at Dunbar Heights, and also sidewalk and site work at Dunbar Heights and Turnkeys. And that is within the budget that we have in our capital fund. The architect has worked with several of these respondents before. This one is one that they have worked with, and they very highly respect them. For our financial highlights, I've already said most of this, that the rents charged were $138,000, which was higher than the previous month of $129,000. I talked about the HUD revenue and how much we received. I've already talked about that. For other income, we received for April $4,000 and for March $3,007, which is not any significant difference. And that was due to the laundry increases. For administrative, the expenses for administrative were under budget because we've hired recent staff, and this staff was on a lower pay grade than the staff that had been here several years that we don't have any longer. Utilities, I've already said, are just outrageous and out of control, but we usually hope that warmer months brings a decrease in utilities to help us balance out by the end of the year, but that remains to be seen, because everything is higher since COVID. Everything, I mean, fuel is one of the biggest things, and everybody has to use fuel to do whatever they're doing. So we're not the only ones. Other housing authorities are having the same high utility costs. Our maintenance costs are under budget because we got into better weather, and maintenance was not doing snow removal. In general, overall, all the costs are under budget. And we have one extraordinary item, and that was we had to do some drain work over at Park Street. The tenant portal. Some tenants are participating in using the tenant portal. In March, tenants made payments of $10,000 through the tenant portal. And in April, they made payments of $6,000 through the tenant portal. And we have a couple of people join or sign up for it each month. So we're hopeful that as it stays around longer, more tenants will be participating in it, which will mean that they won't have to spend as much time coming to the housing authority. They can have the pay their rent at their leisure at midnight or Saturday, Sunday, whenever they like. So that is slow, but it's working a little bit. And that is the end of my report. Well, they're not that new. They just new to this budget.
I've been bringing myself up to speed. What I've been doing working with the office is mostly going through files with various notices sent out. I sent out a number of notices for outstanding violations for smoking, noise, and housekeeping. Those are just initial notices working on lists provided me by the office. There were a few cases where there had been prior notices and no correction of situations, so I've prepared a couple of termination notices, which is where it leads to if the tenant doesn't correct the situation. There is a pending matter where there was a prior termination, tenants represented by counsel. Counsel has finished their review of the file, so we are looking to schedule a grievance hearing that was requested under your grievance procedure. And the one court case that I commenced was another previously served termination notice. It was on for a couple weeks ago in court. It was put over for tenant to obtain counsel. And as I advised Ms. Croson just now, I was served this afternoon with a motion to dismiss from legal services that I now have to answer, and the judge has to decide before we proceed. I'm assuming that's going to be standard procedure on a lot of these evictions, so got to be prepared that they'll be bringing motions, which we have to respond to. It's all part of the process, but we will continue to move ahead on it. That's basically what I've been doing for the past, since the past week.
When's the grievance hearing?
I haven't scheduled that yet.
And I have to mention, we are fortunate that we received 5 responses before. We put this out to bid 3 or 4 times before. Once we got no response, once we got 1 response, that was way over. So we were just really thrilled, and I have to give it to the architects because they really did their labor.
I was going to say, this is change.
Yes.
Do we have any tenants' comments at this time? I'm sorry. Can I have a motion to accept the resolution?
And then we have the attorney.
Okay.
No, second.
Then there should be a vote.
All approved?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Get any money? I got that money.
Can I have the motion for approving the positioning special counsel legal services of Whiteman, Eastman, and Hannah, LLP?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Now we move to tenants' comments and concerns. Yes, yes.
I got a few concerns. My first concern is the man that is going to the garbage can and bringing all of the garbage out of the dumpster into the lobby. Go to the lobby now, he got shoes laid out like it's the shoe store, and he brings them out the garbage every day. He brings pots, suitcases, beds, everything that you can maybe be carrying out that garbage, he carries it out and he brings it and he puts it on the first floor. And he's going to wind up infesting us with bed bugs sooner or later. We ain't get it yet, but I wouldn't live next door to him. I would have lived in the public first. Second concern. We have a tenant threat that I haven't seen since the last meeting that we had here. Now I know that Valerie does her thing and then you sit here and you do your thing and then there's things that you take back to the people and where's our tenant threat? So now we had this election that never was done before without being there. We always knew there was an election. So now when it goes on Facebook, which I don't understand why it would go on Facebook, because suppose everybody doesn't have Facebook, then they didn't know there was an election. Not only that, who was her 15 signature? Because I never met the lady before. Today I seen her this morning going out for the first time since the last meeting that we had. So what is her purpose? What is the purpose of this tenant rep if she's not here? She wasn't there. She lives in the building. She came all the way from Dunbar. What's the problem? It's downstairs, an elevator ride. So I'm just not understanding what's going on with that. I don't get the election. I said we should get 26 and 25. If she needed 15, we should get 25 and get her removed. What's her purpose? The chair is empty. I could go sit there and do nothing just like she do. I want to know what's going on. And I want to know from the tenant rep, because that's why she said she got on here to rep, right? So where's the representative? Where's my cheerleader? I don't understand that. I don't get it.
I don't really know why she's out today. However,
she was out today. She was out at the meeting at Dunbar, so she's been out.
I'll do my due diligence to ask her if she's going to be...
You know, now is her time. She should be able to have little meetings downstairs.
Right. Okay.
When you going to tell us something? They said she said she was a representative of the Bronx. I don't believe that, because the Bronx don't play. So here we go in this little town. You live in the same building. We don't know nothing that's going on, but you're our representative. You shouldn't even got them 15 signatures because it was a waste of time. Yes, that's possible. I can't really hear you good. You know, we're hearing that now, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, I didn't know. I just want you to know that we did send that election information in to each household.
I never got it.
We took it to every household because we always do that.
I never got it.
We put it on Facebook and our and the website because a lot of tenants go on Facebook. I don't know why, but
I don't want to be your Facebook friend. I've been seeing some things on Facebook. Y'all want to be my friend on Facebook.
I don't either. But we put it there because a lot of tenants do go on Facebook. But we did also send that. We took it to every household. Every household received that.
Well,
we sent it to every household. I can't say every household got it because once it leaves our office, I can't.
Well, as far as I know, and I know that people said that they didn't go out with, they didn't get them at Dunbar either. So where did they go out to? And for me, an election that was done on Facebook, we always had it, like you said, in the mail. So when it was done on Facebook and then it was done by somebody, we don't even know her. And we don't have to know the tenant,
actually. Right, right. And
we don't have to know the tenant for her to be on the board. But we need to know that she's showing up. We need to know what's going on. So just like she said, she goes back and she takes a report back to Valerie. Valerie gets it done. Valerie gets some stuff done. She contacts you. She contacts anybody she needs to. What is her contact at? What is the game? Do you think it's a game? Like, these things is moving on. Y'all sitting here, and then y'all sit here, and for a whole hour, and y'all just sitting here and y'all look at us like we crazy and we had something to say. Little Mr. whatever, I can't think of his name. I call him Mr. Brown, but anyway, the one that's in Spain, him. You know, you gotta always remember what goes up goes down and every cookie crumbles. So you don't never know. You could be living high on the horse today and be sitting right here in this chair next to me one day. I ain't never lived in no projects. Never, and I choose never to live again because everybody don't know how to live. But all I'm saying is if I had one good tenant that would get on that board and would fight for us just to let us know what's going on. We don't do nothing. We don't say nothing. I've been trying to get a committee together. Let's go outside. Let's go clean up where you at. Go have your wonderful barbecue. And later for what Ms. Crossley said, after you go out there and do all that hard work, we're going to have us a cookout with a water slide or something. But all I'm saying to you is you can't do that until you come to your tenant rep. Let your tenant rep bring it to Ms. Crossley for you. As they say, there's always steps that got to go. But anyway, back to Mr. Brown.
Sit down.
The last meeting that was here, yes. What's his name, Lewis, right?
Lewis,
okay,
yes.
Okay, Ms. Duffy. The last meeting that was here, there were five tenants in this room. You weren't here. There was five tenants in this room. And he said everybody had 3 minutes to talk. This is not Dunbar Heights where it's overbound with people. Does Dunbar come out? This was five tenants. There's nowhere in the bylaws where it says that we had 3 minutes to say anything. If you see me once a month and you sit in this room for 1 hour and talk to us for 1 hour, then don't get on the board if we got to go talk in 3 minutes, because some things can't be said in 3 minutes. Okay, and that's all I'm going to say on that, and that's all I have to say. Let me share.
Okay, what I'm going to do as a person on the board, the vice chair, I'm going to do my due diligence to find out why she's not here.
Why she's not getting this community room,
right.
Letting people get informed. They talk about closing the building. We don't know if it's going to close, open. We don't know if they're going to sit us down by the river. We don't know if we're going to be living by the river. We don't know.
Right.
But our tenant rep should be giving us some kind of information. But
so
if she's
talking, I will contact her and then see how. Here we go.
Well,
and
I just think you should contact her until we said thank you anyway, but no thank you. Because it's really a waste of time. You're still not here. So that's all I'm saying. But anyway, go ahead.
Thank you for your comments. Don't worry, they didn't fall on deaf ears, okay? Mm-hmm. I said they did not fall on deaf ears.
So.
Hi. I have really several questions that I want to ask. I'll start focusing on Dunbar. With the $310,000 that came through for the kitchen work at Dunbar, when you divide that by 76 units, you're looking at just a little over $3,000 a unit. Okay. You and I have a fine little though. That you are not going to renovate the kitchen anywhere in Westchester County for $3,000. Even a tiny, teeny, tiny little one. So we really want to know how this is being looked at. What is it that is going to be explored for that grant that has come through?
Do you
want
me to answer?
First of all, although they presented that check, nobody said when we're going to get that money, so we don't know when that money's going to come. We don't actually have it. We haven't received anything saying we can
right,
draw it down.
Right.
So what will probably happen when they have the $310,000 in hand is they will do the kitchens that they can do. They may start at a particular property. It will certainly not do every kitchen out there. But we will also have some money, I think, in our capital fund that could probably go along with that. I don't know at this moment how much it is.
So it's not envisioned that amount,
yeah.
Even combined with the capital fund, is going to reach.
To every kitchen, that's correct. I can't say that because you don't know. We don't know what, once the architect puts it out for bid. The architect, once we get the money, the architect will say to us, here's what we think is going to cost to do a kitchen.
Right.
When they offered us the $310,000, it wasn't them saying, how much do you need to do all the kitchens?
Okay.
They said, this is the amount of money we have. Do you have a project you can use it for? And of course, we said yes, because we had some money coming in for the bathrooms, and we figured the kitchens would be a good segue with the bathrooms.
Right.
So we, of course, taking what we can get, we know that 310 is not gonna do it. We know that some money is gonna have to come from capital fund if there's some in there already.
When you say capital funds, that means capital funds coming
from HUD.
From HUD.
So they give us money, you know, each year, and
right.
we run it every year and say, we're gonna do this thing. That's where the money is coming from to do the Dunbar Heights back porches. Mm-hmm. And so there are lots of things that need to be done out there, but in meeting with our new architect, we boil it down to doing the back porches because we have to go with the things that will help the safety first.
First, yeah.
And back porches, they're riding and they're hazardous, and that could be a potential danger. So that's why we had it in our capital fund already, and that's why we said, let's go with that, because that will really affect tenants' safety. So other things like kitchen, bathrooms, that sort of stuff, they're needed. God knows they are. But they're not in a situation where they are endangering anybody's life. They're causing safety problems, they're causing health problems. So that can go over a long period of time. We do plan to do a repositioning, and when we do repositioning, we plan to go to the state to get millions of dollars. So that all the stuff that can get done all at one time. Because you can't do this little by little, so by the time you get back around, that's broken. So this is what the repositioning is about, is so we can get enough money to do all the things that need to be done to bring this development up to decent, safe, and sanitary, which is what we're charged to do. I expect that once we get this attorney on board, it will probably take us a year to get to the point where we're gonna close on, at least a year, to close on this repositioning thing. But that's what I'm depending on. I mean, that's what we have to depend on, is that we're gonna get millions of dollars. This is not some hundred thousand.
So I think it would be very important for the people at Dunbar who we had this ceremony about a month ago now, I think, and they just checked, and it's sitting in the community room, but I think it's very important that there be very clear communication about what this means and what it looks like.
And of
course, nobody knows exactly, nobody knows that this is how you're going to be approaching it.
Yeah.
And so everybody is working on assumptions and questions. And I think it is better to move away from assumptions and get down to what's really going on.
Yeah. Well, we are way far out from it now, which is one of the reasons more hasn't been said, but When the board chose their development partner, that's the development partner is supposed to hire a person, and that's supposed to be their job, to get out here, meet with the tenants on a regular basis, and tell them where we are, and where we're going, and what their role is in what we do. But that's their job. That can't come out of the housing authority, because we already have a job in the job we do in housing authority.
But my next question will really be about...
Yes.
I've been doing a lot of study to try to understand what RAD requisition is.
This is not necessarily RAD, so you've used that many, many times in here.
Okay.
We don't know that we're going to go RAD. We're repositioning. We don't know how we're going to go. It may just be low income tax credits. It may be no RAD. So that we haven't even gotten that far yet.
Okay. So one of the things I do know, and I will say about RAD, because this is a moment, my point of reference,
mm-hmm.
is that in every, I've discussed this with three to four people who are quite experienced in this, and they talk about creating a tenants council
mm-hmm.
that would be contained between 12 and 15 tenants as an organized body. Who will be working with the executive director and the housing commission through a repositioning process, which I also understand takes several years.
Yeah.
You know, like we know it's going to flip a switch and mm-hmm. it's going to happen. So I'm wondering what moves you all are making and what ways we as tenant advocates and representatives can participate in pulling together tenants and engaging part of this process.
There'll be a lot of tenant input. There'll be a lot of tenant meetings. There'll be a lot of someone being out there for this purpose. That's their purpose, is to be out there to answer the questions, to bring, try to get the tenants to come and participate. And this is not new to it's new to us because we haven't done it, but it's not new because many housing authorities have already finished repositioning. As I, you know, talked to try to get this housing authority to do when I came here 9 years ago. But we just got a board in the last couple of years that were amenable to doing a project of this scope. So built into this is all of these repositioning things. Built into it are, what are you going to do with the tenants? How are the tenants going to be a part of this? So we're not talking about it yet because we couldn't do anything more towards repositioning until we do what we're doing right now, and that's hiring an attorney. Because this is very serious stuff, and we have to have an attorney that can represent this housing authority. Not the other housing authority, not the developer, this housing authority, and I think we're going to have that in the form of each attorney. So until we got this attorney, we can't even sign a document, we can't move any further. So once we get on board with this, I think that you will, and I'll contact the different people told us different things when we were looking for a development partner. This development partner that was chosen said they were going to use a particular agency to be the tenant advocate, somebody to be here. One person said they were going to hire a special person. That was their job. That was their only job, to be on Peace Housing Authority property. So I have to find out from the developer that we have, what are you planning to do? It's time. It's time even to say to the tenants, we don't know what we're doing yet, but here I am. So okay. we'll do that. We couldn't move any further without an attorney, but they can, the development partner, can start to talk. They can't talk in specifics because we don't know what we're going to do. Is it RAD? Is it low income tax credit? We don't know. All of that has to be determined. But there are things that can be shared with the tenants that we are definitely trying to go this way, and here's why. When we do it, every tenant will be will keep their unit. Every tenant, no tenant is going to be displaced. Those are some things that are just built in. Yeah. So they need to know that. They need to know, because some people ask and many don't, that nobody's going anywhere. We're not selling any public housing. We're planning to make this public housing decent, safe, sanitary, and keep it affordable. So, I mean, those things could already be put out there to the tenants.
When you talk about repositioning, is there any mechanism? Because I know I got a notice 2 days ago that HUD now has something like $8 billion in its budget. For the first time after many, many, many years, that amount. Do you think you would consider, we'll have to wait and see how what direction this is going to take and how it's going to be distributed, of course, it goes to the states, et cetera, et cetera, to maintain Peekskill public housing in Section 9, that is public housing, as opposed to removing it from Section 9, going into Section 8,
are you
not that far along yet?
That's 9 out of 10 times not going to happen. HUD, for the last at least 6 years, have let all of us housing authority executive directors know you can either do it voluntarily or at some point down the road you're going to do this. Because everybody at HUD and the government is moving away from Section 9. I don't know what people think is so good about public housing. It really isn't. We have that negative connotation. I mean, people don't take us seriously because everybody thinks everything in public housing is bad. Section 8 has a much better reputation. Tenants pay better. There's just everything better about Section 8. So I would tell you almost with certainty that this is not going to stay public housing. Nobody's going to put that kind of money into this kind of development and let it be public housing and get run down and get thrown away. This money is going to, it has some parameters attached to it. It's not just going to be given to us. It's not a grant. Those low-income tax credits have to be paid, and people are serious about that. So it's going to be run a lot tighter because tenants are going to have their own responsibilities. They're going to have to pay. They're not going to be sit here and not pay for 3 years. That ain't going to happen. They're going to be given every opportunity to do so. Nobody's going to lose their unit because the repositioning is happening, but tenants are going to have to take some responsibility for themselves and do the thing that they're supposed to do as tenants.
That's one way of doing that. public housing looks like in most of the countries, but there's, like, there's been a concerted effort to defund it as a public resource throughout the entire country for 2-3 decades.
And that continues?
Yes.
That continues, that's not gonna stop.
I'm not gonna be in a position to blame the people who live in public housing. That's a decision that was made by our legislators and our politicians.
Let me say,
put it on them.
There is, public housing's been giving that fewer and fewer dollars over the years.
Yes.
I mean, I remember we used to get what they call fully funded, and we used to get fully funded each year, and that fully funded meant that I give HUD my budget and I say, here's what I think I'm gonna need for the year. This is what I expect to get from the tenants, and HUD would give us the balance of whatever I needed, and that's all fully funded. We've been down in some years down to like 70% of that fully funded.
Yeah, I know.
But along with that has come, just as there's a RAD and just as there's a repositioning, there have been many, many, many other programs out there where developers come in and they fix up the property. They fix them up. But there has to be some changes in the way things are run, because I know, I've seen them. I've seen them fixed up, brand new, beautiful, gorgeous, and in a few years they start to go right back to where they came from. So there's going to be a lot of work done on this. And yes, the tenants are going to have to say, yeah, I'm going to have to take some responsibility, which they should do anyway, for making this work, for making this state, for making this happen. But as far as Section 8, Section 9, public housing money, that's just dwindling on that.
Yeah.
Dwindling. And it's not going to stop. So the name of the game is, if you want to keep housing, whether it's public housing or Section 8 project-based housing, if you want to keep that, you have to do something different. And that's what this different thing is, whether it's RAD, low-income housing tax credits, whatever it is, it's going to have to be different if you want those funds to come in. So this big amount of money is going to come in. Built into that amount of money is going to be a lot of money set to the side to do work continuously. So that we never get back to this situation where all the pipes are breaking and things underground and all the infrastructure is gone. You should never get back to this point again, because built into it is, there has to be money to be put back into it every year, every year, every year. So it's gonna be change, and change is not easy. Change is not easy, you know. But if you don't make any change, you know what you got. You know, we have the opportunity, I think, to do something great, something better, and something to make the tenants feel proud of where they live. I mean, because I go over there to Dunbar, and that's a beautiful doggone community. And you look and you see that. I was over there with a lady the other day, she got tires out there, tire rims, just all kinds of stuff. And I said to her, what are you going to do with this? Well, nothing. Well, we want to clean it up. Well, no, I want to keep it. Well, why? Go look at other developments and see. There are things that tenants can do. Dunbar's gorgeous. I'm not going to. You live there. What do you think? You go out there, it's beautiful. You got the trees. But then we got the cracked sidewalk. I mean, you know, we got all the work that we haven't been able to do. So that just takes away from it. But I think this is a great opportunity.
Yeah, Scott Trapp, and thank you, Ms. Crossman, for explaining a lot of the process and everything that goes on, because it is a process.
Yes, it is.
And you're right, there's a lot of change coming in. The money is getting tight.
Yes, it is.
The money's getting tight. You know, so we have to do the best that we can and work together.
Yes.
You know, everybody across the board. Like you always say, that everybody's got to do their part, and everybody's got to work together to make this happen. So, you know, so thank you so much for that. But I just wanted to backtrack, if you don't mind.
Yes,
we were talking about the porches. And right now they're the metal porches.
Yes.
Or with that type of thing there, and that's the whole reason why we have to get it fixed.
That way.
Interior. What type of material will they be using for the porches going forward? I mean, I know that they're supposed to be a, you know, developer or whatever, but I'm just wondering what type of material
steel
that will be seen.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the question.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling.
No, it's okay. Yeah, because I guess, you know, they came and they fixed her porch.
We fixed them. We just put a piece of steel there because we have to fix it. I mean,
yeah.
It's not the fix.
Yeah.
It's just us band-aiding it to
so they're gonna
be
replaced.
Safe.
The iron that's up there now is going to be replaced.
Yes.
Okay. Is that part of the front and back grant?
I'm sorry. Part of the.
Is that part of the grant for the front and back?
We were trying to do. We started out. The project was going to be
the porches, the front and back storm doors and screen doors. We couldn't ever get, we were way, way, way over budget. So the new architect that we had, we put it out so that that would be an alternate. But all we're able to get with the 1.2 million is the porches and some site work, some of the sidewalks and some of that stuff at Dunbar and Turnkey. That's all we could get with the million too. So we couldn't do the storm doors.
So the priority of the porches?
Priority because there's a health and safety. They're dangerous. Yeah. I mean the storm doors and the front and back doors are need to be done, but they're not causing. That's correct. Okay. That's correct. So that's how we got to use this money for that purpose. We have to go to health and safety first.
Okay.
We know when the projected date to start the
courses. June.
Okay.
We got. I mean, that'll start all the logistics of it. I don't know if they'll actually be out there hammering, but I hope they will. But we have. Well, first of all that stuff on all those porches and on those porches, somebody got to do something with it.
Okay.
You know.
We'll have it, but we just need to know the date.
Well, you'll get time. Once we'll let the contractor know. The architect will send a letter to the contractor saying you've been selected, and then we'll start to move from there. But we do anticipate this beginning in June.
Okay. Valerie, I see you have a patient
ready to speak. Well, Ms. Carlson, I apologize for not getting this to you earlier. That is my fault, but most of these are, you get the answer.
Okay.
Off the top of your head. The tenants had an issue. At Dunbar, we started the community work, which is coming out really nice. I don't know the weeds from the flower yet, though.
Yeah, we don't either.
But everything's growing up nice. But the problem that the tenants had was that the water, instead of them allowing us to use the water, they're controlling the water. We can't water the plant. And they tased the spigot so that we can't even use, somebody had a key.
And there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is we've been getting rain practically every day or every other day. So we haven't needed the hose because you're getting rain. We've been getting rain, not cooking. And we track it. But I say the maintenance, what about, we got rain, we didn't put it out there. But the other reason is because you can't have that hose because that hose has to come from the building, across the sidewalk, or the door.
No, but we put it on a thing.
Cannot.
You can't get
from the water. The hose has to go over here. The water's over here and the hose is over here.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go that distance. I can't leave that hose sitting out there. Which is why we've given you a certain time that you can put it out there.
But
even if you wind it up,
it doesn't, it's not in the sidewalk.
Well,
we wrap it around.
Well,
Mary's porch, we had it wrapped around.
If you wrap it around, there's no guarantee that it's going to stay wrapped up. See, that becomes my liability. If I leave a hose out there, wrapped around whatever it is, and when you all gone to bed at night and somebody comes and they take that hose out and they do whatever they're going to do with it, that's still my liability. So we have to make sure that.
But this is what I'm saying. It has always been there. You know, it's always had.
Maybe, but I haven't always been here.
I know, but
I'm liability. Anything that we can do that doesn't put and our insurance company will back me up on this because we always meet with our insurance. Say to our insurance company, we want to do this thing, and they'll tell us you can't let that run across. That you can. Just like with the people that did the water slide. Our insurance companies, they're like, what? You know, it's such a hazard. So many things lead to danger and lawsuits, and that's, I have to be on top of that at all times.
There was something that the other day, the water slide, the kids had a ball, the parents had a ball.
Sure they did. But my insurance company didn't have a ball.
It was, they said, why? Because the only thing I messed up was the grass, right? They said the grass.
Well, they had a bale of hay as what you slide into when you get it.
Well, bales of hay are not
bales of hay are not you can get hurt in a bale of hay. So I mean, it's all of this legal and liability that I have to be concerned with.
But in the same token, the kids have nothing to play with when they're jumping off the walls and onto the other thing. That's creating another liability too. But you know what I mean?
But when kids are jumping off the wall, their parents should not allow that. That's not fun. That's not play.
No, but even when they ride the big wheel down the hill and hit the wall. You know what I'm saying? It's still some part of liability there. But the kids do this every day. You know what I mean?
There's always going to be some liability, mm-hmm. but I have to put it in check as much as I can. That's my job. And parents have to be involved with that also, making sure their kids do the things that are the right thing. You know, I come out there, kids are just out
Ms.
there.
Crosley, what's the plan for getting water to the gardens?
We put it out there at a certain period of time. So every day we'll put it out from this time to that time. I don't know if somebody else came up with what those hours were.
What are they? Most of the people are at work, so they won't say they didn't have a chance to.
Well, you have to do it while we're here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you know. What's the hours, so I can say?
I don't know.
I think it was 11 or 2.
I think so. I mean, it was a good amount of time during the day.
Is it like, sir,
but it's only
during
days.
The week? Is it during the weekday? Because I think the last time you guys were, when you really started the process,
yeah.
They had it out
weekend.
There for the weekend because they started
on the
weekend.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, if it's, you know, when you're just talking about that, my husband just bought like a big, you know, one of those new hose type of things. And then, you know, is it possible for them to utilize it and then take it off, and then I can wrap it up and put it back in my house? Could that be something
if somebody
doable?
Is going to take their trunk load, because
yes.
you can't have the hose from here to here and just left.
Yeah, exactly.
We understand that.
So if it's okay
then,
with you, you know.
Well, I have to know exactly what you're doing, who's doing it, blah, blah,
Okay, all right. So we'll work with that, and then we'll talk to you first. Talk to you first.
Yes,
you know, just because it defeats the purpose of trying to do the little, you know, garden thing, and then, you know, not being able to, like you said, you know, we've been getting some rain, so far so good.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, now the weather's going to be going up to like 80, you know, whatever. And so, like I said, is that I'll work with, you know, talk to Valerie, see who's going to be doing what.
And it's got to be somebody reliable.
Yes.
Somebody reliable.
We're working with responsibilities.
What do you have growing?
What do we have growing? Mm-hmm. It's beans, some tomatoes, carrots, and I think it might be squash.
Yeah. You have to buy it in? Buy it around?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's gated.
It's gated in.
But we're going to go out there and do some more plots because the end is not separate, so we're going to do that on Saturday. And another thing I would like to say is the after-school program has started in Dupont Heights. It is going wonderful. The kids are enjoying it. The meals are good. Everything's going well. Thank you. The kids are even getting introduced to stuff that they know what to do.
Food?
Yes. Took some tofu. They had tofu.
What's the hours?
From 5 to 6:30. Yeah, they did it
all.
Yeah,
me and you both.
Yeah, but that's what they did.
And I even went out
right. That's what they did. But, you know, it was interesting, you know, and then they got, they had sandwiches because
tofu.
I knew
there
was
going
to go for it. That's not that kind of food. But yes, it worked out real well. And they did all music, arts and crafts, and they did stories. The theme for this week is friendship and learning how to relate to each other and correcting your friends when they're wrong in a loving way. You know what I mean? So it's working out good, you know. I'm just there observing them enjoying it.
Okay. And what's the ages?
I don't know this.
I don't know. They said parking is separate.
I know that we're revising parking. We did it here. We're doing it at Dunbar right now. So all those people that are sitting out there with those parking spaces that they think they own, they don't own them because they never got assigned them and they never have paid for them. So I know somebody's in the process of doing that now, but I don't keep up with it on a daily basis.
Okay.
So that's one thing. You know, if you
know, they were talking about. That's what they were saying. They assumed that the parking was included in the rent. And it was, that's the part that they were talking
about. If you had a person that called here and think that you haven't called the office, we'll make sure they know that that was never the intent. And they have, if it's their parking space, they have signed off saying it's their parking space. And the amount that the parking is.
All right, the outdoor safety kids during the summer. The tennis feel like they have. Because you said it was a liability for the thing, but they're paying, the tenants are paying a parking insurance, and they feel like their insurance is covering, should cover their costs, and they want to take some credit.
Give me their apartment insurance, I'll send it to our insurance company, and they'll tell me.
Everybody?
Whoever has it, yeah.
Okay.
Because everybody doesn't have apartment insurance.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
If they have it, give me a copy, I'll send it to my insurance company, and let them decide.
Decided to
have it. Yeah, if the insurance is going to cover it.
Oh, okay.
And you know, some people did a beautiful job on their tents, and we weren't trying to bother them. They did a beautiful job. They looked safe and all that. And then take a look at some of the other things that have been out there year round. Christmas, summer, broke down. One guy even had the nerve to have a run a cord from in his house to outside in the thing. Had him a TV,
yeah.
A recliner.
But he also, this is the thing, he also provided entertainment for the kids over the summer. The kids were, every Friday night, Saturday night, Tuesday night, there was a movie on, and the kids were outside sitting on the lawn, eating popcorn, and having chips, hot dogs, and hamburgers, outside in the front. Mm-hmm. So there was like 50 kids sitting down, being still, for a couple of hours, and the parents loved it. You know, so that's, the housing didn't see that part.
No, we didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
All we did was we get the complaints from the tenants. When are you going to make them take that down?
The only person who complained was that we know who complained.
Well, I don't want to name anybody.
Yeah, was the lady who lived around the hill.
Yeah, I don't name anybody, but we got complaints about it. When are you going to take that down? I mean,
but you have more people saying
we don't like all these kids out here. They keep too much noise. They did that, so you know.
But they're not. But there's nothing for the kids. Children. You know what I'm saying? So when you find it. A lot of the fathers out there like to do a lot of things with the kids. And that's what they do. They do different things with them out there. And they don't show that. You know what I'm saying? They don't show them taking the kids.
They do not. Nobody says
doing
it.
Things with them.
And
they
other thing,
the football
and
practice,
the other thing
practice.
Is,
every time they have something, there's a whole
tennis don't call the office and say, here's what we'd like to do. They just do. And then when I get the complaint, I don't even know what the people are talking about. Everybody just do what they want to do. So there has to be some kind
of... One recommendation I would think is that you go around to each tenant and you tell the tenants of the activities that are going to take place in the neighborhood so they can be on board with
that. Mm-hmm.
So they won't have to complain, you know, we have a little block party for kids. So they know if they hear music, what it is, so you don't have to complain. So if you do it like that, you get all of them involved, you might, you know, have a bigger buy-in.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was only one tenant who complained.
One tenant to complain to you. We get complaints.
About
that, when is that coming down? We all these kids out here keeping all this noise, they're gonna come down, they do this, it's nighttime, we wanna be rested,
Okay. But can the housing
authority
be in a position to say, demand that the children be in their apartments
and
set a curfew?
And how do I enforce it? If I say this is the time, how do I enforce it?
No, but can you even do that?
What? I think they had done it before where they said it was like kids couldn't be out at some particular time. But not since I've been here. Anyway, you give me your paper. You know, I'll get back to you.
Oh, okay.
You got on there.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Yeah, I will get back to you on
those. Okay.
I can't give you, you know, a lot of answers right here, right now.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll follow up for.